All this week, we'll be bringing you interviews from Denver in connection to what's happening at the Democratic National Convention. And we're beginning with this week's States of the Union segment, a look at the convention's host state, Colorado. Joining me now to discuss what matters to voters in the centennial state and what the convention means for Denver is Lynn Bartels, political and legislative reporter at the Rocky Mountain News. I'm very pleased to welcome her for the 40th state in our series. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Can you hear me above the din?
I can hear you above the din.
What's been the atmosphere in Denver over the past few days as the delegates and media have been arriving?
Actually, I think it's been pretty exciting. We have what's called the 16th Street Mall. That's a mile-long strip of free transportation. It's a little bus shuttle. It goes from the state capitol down to Coors Field, Union Station, etc. All these people are getting on it. They're talking about, you know, the weather so far has been great. People are loving not having humidity, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think people are fired up. Some people are worried about the police presence seems a little strange. You feel like you're in a foreign country or something.
But well, that's because there are so many protesters.
Yeah, I think yesterday they viewed it as protest light. It's kind of wannabes.
Well, the polls indicate that the presidential race is very close in Colorado. The latest has the two candidates just 1 point apart. Of course, it's still very early in the cycle. But John McCain is winning 47% of the vote, Barack Obama 46%. Can we count on Colorado being a toss-up state in the campaign?
Well, Colorado is interesting in that it traditionally has gone for the Republican candidate for president. In 1992, it went for Bill Clinton, but people here attributed that to the fact that Ross Perot was on the ballot. If Barack wins here, it would be huge. A reminder that 4 years ago, John Kerry only got beat by 4 percentage points here, which is pretty big deal. And the theory is that Barack Obama has inspired unlikely voters. So that remains to be seen how that will play out in the next couple of months.
Of course, that also happened with Ross Perot. It was one of his best states in 1992. But what about
Colorado's an oddie. Mm-hmm. We're an odd state. We like Colorado sent, 40 delegates for Dennis Kucinich 4 years ago? We're our own state here, truthfully.
Well, it sounds to me like you vote Republican, but you like liberal Democrats. At least the Democrats like liberal Democrats. Dennis Kucinich is the liberal wing of the Democratic Party.
And I think it was Jerry Brown that won the primary here in 92. They're a very vocal wing of the party. When it all settles down to vote, Colorado is neither super conservative nor super liberal. We're independent. In fact, the independents are the largest voting bloc here right now. They're about 33-point-some-odd percent, closely followed by Republicans, with Democrats at about 31%. Colorado, it'll go back and forth. It'll have a Democratic governor for 24 years, but through that whole time, it'll have a Republican legislature.
And then it'll have a senator who's elected as a Democrat and switches to the Republican Party. So it's had an odd history. But is the city of Denver likely to go strongly for Obama?
Oh, absolutely. Denver's very Democrat. This will be a huge stronghold, and they have to get Denver voters out. A big fear here in Colorado is the election 2 years ago was a complete disaster. They estimate more than 20,000 people from Denver, and that's a conservative estimate, couldn't vote because they had all these problems with the equipment. They hadn't tested it properly. And so the big fear is what's going to happen in Denver, because that's where your biggest Democratic voting bloc exists.
The state held its caucuses on February 5th. Mitt Romney won the Republican caucus with 60% of the vote, and John McCain was second with just 18. Why was Mitt Romney so popular with Colorado Republicans?
Well, Mitt Romney had started here earlier. Some of the state's key Republicans had lined up behind him, John Southers, the attorney general, Bill Owens, the former governor. They had an operation here. They were active. They sent out mailings and email reminders to fellow Republicans about Mitt Romney. They had caucus training for Romney delegates, and I don't think any of the other delegates did anything like that.
Well, is there a large Mormon presence in Colorado?
It's not super large. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Mississippi, I'll tell you that. But it's not a super large presence.
Have Colorado Republicans unified behind John McCain by now?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, John McCain Romney wins here on a Tuesday and I believe drops out at the end of that week, and every major leader automatically said, I will be behind our nominee.
Now, we said that Mitt Romney had a lopsided victory with 60% of the vote. Barack Obama got 66% of the vote on the Democratic side. So I'm assuming he remains popular with Colorado Democrats. Why do you think he remains so popular with them?
They had an incredible field organization here, and you read about it now when you see comparisons between the Barack Obama, the Hillary Clinton campaign. They had a state advisor in place last year. They set up satellite offices in parts of the state where they traditionally don't do it. They really shook the bushes to get people out, and people came out because they were curious. I mean, our caucus system here, Colorado went back to a caucus system because in the crisis, the budget crisis of 2002-03, we couldn't afford a primary. And the turnout was overwhelming. I mean, people were 3 miles from their caucus and couldn't even get in because they couldn't find parking places. I think people were just excited about something new and change. George Bush is very unpopular here in Colorado.
There's often the local elections have an impact on the presidential election. There's a fairly competitive race for the seat that Wayne Allard has left open since he's retiring from the Senate. What's been the major issues in the campaign between Republican former Congressman Bob Schaffler, who won re-election 3 times, and Congressman Mark Udall?
It's oil and gas and energy. I mean, this is a state where there's huge energy exploration. It's also a state where people in rural and western Colorado have to drive great distances. So $4 a gallon is a nightmare, you know, for people whose job depends on them driving an hour and a half one way or other to their job. Bob Schaffler has jumped on the theme that Mark Udall opposed drilling. Well, he was in Congress and he shouldn't be elected. Mark Udall has jumped on the theme that Bob Schaffler voted to go to war in 2002, left Congress, went to work for an oil company, made a deal with the Kurdish government, and now he wants to go back to Congress to continue to help the oil industry.
So this sounds like it's going to be a nasty race. Is it going to be a close one?
It is. I would be surprised if this were a runaway, just because it's tough to get a Democrat elected for a statewide federal office. 4 years ago when Ken Salazar beat Pete Coors, and, you know, everybody knows the name Pete Coors, Salazar was very well known in the rural area, which is traditionally Republican territory, and he only won by 4-5%. So some people think this is going to be a blowout for Udall, but even the Udall campaign says, we've always said this is going to be extremely close. And it's interesting how many eyes are on this race. It is so followed from around the nation that it's surprising almost.
Well, the Udalls have a national presence. Mark Udall's cousin, Tom, is a congressman from New Mexico. Another cousin is Gordon Smith, who's defending his Senate seat in Oregon. But isn't Bob Schaffler also hurt by his connections to Jack Abramoff?
There was a little bit of a dust-up earlier this year when it turns out that Mr. Schaffler had gone on what he called a fact-finding mission to the Marianas Islands, what his opponents called a junket. It was arranged by groups associated with Jack Abramoff. And what Democrats and critics of Bob Schaffler allege is he went on this so-called fact-finding trip and then came back, and his sole purpose was to thwart worker reforms. These are things that Jack Abramoff had been hired by the government there to thwart worker reforms. So Schaffler, that was in the news quite a bit for him.
My guest is Lynn Bartels of the Rocky Mountain News. We're talking about Colorado on today's States of the Union segment. In April, Vice President Dick Cheney did some fundraising for Schaffler. Is that an association that'll help with Colorado voters or just with the donors?
Well, they needed money, and you're going to need, you know, you go to who you can get money from. Cheney and Bush are not popular here, but if you can raise a lot of money and you need it in your Senate campaign, you have them come. Even when Clinton was at his, you know, mired in scandal and all that, Democrats still welcomed him here.
Colorado passed a ballot initiative requiring that 10% of the state's energy come from renewable fuels. How was that goal met 8 years before its schedule? That's really commendable.
Well, here's what's interesting. That was called Amendment 37, by the way, and you'll find this very interesting. The person who really pushed this to voters was none other than Mark Udall in 2004. He crisscrossed the state with the Republican Speaker of the House at the time, Lola Spradley, to push this to people, saying that this is a good thing. And actually, this is what Mark touts on the campaign trail now. I work well across the aisle. Look what we did here. We're so ahead that, you know, we are 8 years ahead. I pushed this. It's actually helped turn Colorado into this green state where we have energy firms locating here. It's creating jobs in a new kind of energy industry. And this is what Colorado is billing itself now. When Bill Ritter won governor 2 years ago, Democrat Bill Ritter, he focused on what he called the new energy economy.
Are we talking mostly solar and wind?
We're talking about a combination of things. And I'll be real honest with you, this is not an area that I'm really up on. I know the politics more than I know the details of it.
Well, Bill Ritter is a rather moderate Democrat. He is definitely not from the liberal wing. Is a state one of those typically divided states where the eastern side is more likely to vote for the Democrats and the western for the Republicans or vice versa?
Well, it's more the eastern side is the plains and the farmers. They tend to vote Republican. Then you have the western slope. Parts of it are Republican. Mesa, for example, Grand Junction, Mesa County. But then you have Durango, which everybody kind of knows from skiing, which is pretty liberal. You have shifting counties. You have Larimer County, Colorado State University, used to be more of a red state, and it's voted blue in the last couple of elections. But that's the thing you have to remember about Colorado politics. You may vote blue for a couple of cycles, and then you'll switch and vote red. What calls the shot in the state are the independent voters, and they vote with kind of the trend of what you see nationally. 2002 here in Colorado, Republicans had an amazing election. The headline in the Rocky Mountain News the day after read, "Republicans rule." They kept their Senate seat. The Republican governor was elected by probably the widest margin in state history. They had both houses of the legislature. They picked up the new congressional seat. 2 years later, when Democrats nationwide were mourning because of what happened with John Kerry, Colorado was this lone bright spot. Democrats took a U.S. Senate seat. They took congressional seats. And the other thing they did is they took the legislature, which they had not held both chambers of the legislature since 1962. And in 2006, they just increased their margin of victory in the legislature.
So it sounds to me like Colorado is a real swing state in a different way than it's usually, we usually use that word. But it is interesting that Colorado Springs is home to the Air Force Academy, Fort Carson, and focus on the family. So is that part of the state relatively conservative?
El Paso County can always be counted on going extremely Republican. You know, it's the swing counties that you look at are really not Denver and really not El Paso County because they tend to cancel each other out. It's some of these other suburban counties which are a little bit more, they'll vote Republican or Democrat and they hold the key to victory. And a Jefferson County and Arapahoe County, these are in Denver suburbs. Denver suburbs tend to decide the elections more than any place else.
The host committee for the Democratic Convention had some trouble with their fundraising, and Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper has made some of his frustrations public. What were some of the stumbling blocks for Denver organizers? Or was this a national thing? Was this a problem with the DNC's fundraising?
I think part of it is, quite frankly, is we're not a Houston. We're not a New York City. I mean, our Rolodex of rich people is not as big as theirs, and when you try to get people to pony up, you've got a much smaller list to go through. They said in the end, we'll make our goal, we're sure of it, and they actually did. But I think that was part of the problem. And I think in fundraising anywhere, I mean, you think, okay, I'm donating, what, $250,000 for a party? Or what if I donated that to a high school? Would that make a real difference? So I think there's a part of sometimes you think, what am I raising all this money for?
Earlier this month, John McCain seemed to raise the possibility of renegotiating the Colorado River Compact, which was signed in 1922 And he claims that he was misquoted, but why did that idea get such a negative reaction?
First of all, he was not misquoted. The reporter who interviewed him, if you listen to the tape, it's clearly he quotes him accurately from the tape. In fact, he even says, "Are you saying that?" And McCain repeats it. I'm really surprised that McCain did this because he's from Arizona. You know, the West is all about water and nothing else in a lot of ways. And he would have known that you really can't, you know, renegotiate this. I think what happened is he just spoke off the top of his head, not realizing the impact of it, which I said is surprising because he's an Arizona, you know, senator. I would expect this maybe if you were from Michigan or something and water was a little more plentiful. He has definitely backed down after some meetings with Republican senators from the area telling them, you know, the sentiment in Colorado is over my dead body, you don't touch that water.
Does that hurt him at all?
I actually think if you were going to vote for McCain before, you were probably still going to vote to him. You might look at it as a slip-up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that this was a defining for someone saying, boy, I was on the fence and now I'm not going to vote for him.
Colorado could have a record number of initiatives on the ballot in November. 18 could make it onto the ballot, which is usually, what, about 80 a year. Why are there so many this time around?
Well, part of it was spurred by when Governor Ritter signed an executive order dealing with unions, and it was perceived as the Republicans viewed it as he was turning the state over to unions. They've said it wasn't that at all, and in fact, the unions will tell you, this isn't what we wanted. We wanted more power, and we wanted this, and we didn't get it. But that spurred some of the initiatives, and then that spurred counter-initiatives from organized labor. You have all sorts of things, from a personhood amendment, which critics say basically would outlaw birth control. It's so restrictive and so poorly written. You have affirmative action initiatives. You have gaming initiatives. The real story of this election, granted, it's the presidential race and the U.S. Senate race, but beyond that, it's the ballot initiatives. Coloradans love ballot initiatives to their detriment in a lot of ways.
And you mentioned the unions. One of the initiatives is a ban on requirements to join unions. Is Colorado a state with strong labor unions?
Not really, and that's why I think the fact that Governor Ritter did what he did kind of raised some eyebrows here, made it look like, what are you doing? We've never been a state that's this super union. We've actually all existed peacefully. The problem with some of these initiatives, quite frankly, is they contradict each other. So Coloradans are always putting things in the ballot that say, number one, you can't spend more money, and then number two, but you have to spend more money on this item. So it's made for a huge challenge to run state government.
So what would you say are the biggest issues? Is it gas prices? Is it the environment? Is it the war in Iraq? Is it the economic downturn?
It's definitely the economy, and that is tied in with gas because everything's driven, and so many things are made with petroleum. But Colorado was one of the states that had a huge foreclosure problem. It was one of the unregulated states, and they gave a house to, you know, anybody and their dog without really checking their background. So the foreclosure thing is huge because then there, you know, that totally affects the building trade. You know, the gas problem is enormous. When you talk to candidates who are out talking to people, the war is no longer even a top one or two, three issue. It's health care. It's the economy, and it's gas prices, which I think in some ways are all connected.
Do you think that's going to hurt Barack Obama, who's the strength of his campaign, at least during the primaries, was his opposition to the war?
I don't know if it hurts him, but at this point, it is not the overriding issue in Colorado. I mean, it is an issue that made him popular because he voted, you know, against the war, and Hillary Clinton had voted to go to war. So that initially, you know, was a boost for him. Unfortunately, people sometimes don't make the link, hey, maybe the reason the economy is so bad is we're spending trillions of dollars over trying to deal with the problem in Iraq. I mean, I know that when voters call us or when we talk to voters, they definitely talk about the economy, gas, and health care.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. My guest has been Lynn Bartels, who's with the Rocky Mountain News. She's a legislative reporter there, and she's been filling us in on Colorado. it's still my sense that this is a toss-up state, despite the fact that there's so much dissatisfaction.
Oh, I think this is extreme toss-up state, and that's why you're seeing so much energy focused on Colorado, which traditionally was, you know, what they called a flyover state. You'd land, you'd go to Aspen for a fundraiser, and then you'd head on to California. But there's huge interest here.
And I suspect that Democratic sweep is one of the reasons that the convention is being held in Denver. Do you have any sense of why Denver rather than any of a number of other very attractive cities?
Well, as I pointed out, in 2004, Colorado was the bright spot for Democrats across the nation. Then you come 2006, and, you know, which was a bad year nationally for Democrats. And so Democrats were the surprise in 2004. In 2006, they just wiped the Republican Party here. So, I mean, it was this payback of saying, look how the Democratic Party is on its feet and emerging in Denver. And I think when you have it in Denver, you're really talking about having it in the West.
Yeah.
You're talking about Wyoming. You're talking about Montana.
And you're talking about California as well.
Exactly.
Even though there are these mountains in between.
Yeah, we don't always view that as the West here. But, yeah, you're talking about areas that were always kind of viewed as safe Republican hands. California is obviously a little different there, but you're talking about Nevada, where the kind of the independent libertarian voter that depends on these tourists who come to gamble for a lot of their economy, and they're not coming now because gas prices are so high. You have a state where people are generally dissatisfied with the federal government. I mean, that's the West mantra is the federal government, don't tell us what to do, leave us alone, let us operate by ourselves. And then they look and see the federal government is mired in this war, in this debt, and it makes a lot of people who might vote traditionally Republican vote Democrat because they're so unsatisfied with what's happening in Washington.
Thank you so much, Lynn Bartels.